Welcome to the Automation World Get Your Questions Answered podcast. I'm David Greenfield, Editor-in-Chief at Automation World, and this episode is a bit different than our regular episodes where we interview industrial automation experts about specific automation technologies and trends. Here, the tables get turned a bit in that I'm one of the people being interviewed. I was invited to take part in a discussion that aired on Southern California Public Radio's LAist Air Talk program, along with Ben Armstrong, Executive Director of MIT's Industrial Performance Center. This LAist Air Talk segment was developed in reaction to the Wall Street Journal article, "Robots Are Looking Better to Detroit as Labor Costs Rise." Air Talk host Larry Mantle wanted to find out if robot adoption is impacting not just the automotive industry, but manufacturing and logistics jobs broadly. Following is a recording of that segment, courtesy of Southern California Public Radio.
But we turn our attention now to a recent Wall Street Journal piece by Nora Eckert that wrote that automakers are going all in on automation as a way to fight their rising labor costs. This following the deals that were made between the auto workers union and the various U.S. automakers. But there are tremendous challenges in having those jobs done by robots. But I thought this was a good opportunity talking about what are the types of manufacturing jobs that appear in the not too distant future might be done by machines instead of humans. With us, Editor-in-Chief of Automation World, David Greenfield. Automation World reports on industrial automation technologies. David, thank you for being with us.
Yeah, thank you. It's great to be here.
So not a surprise that automakers are looking at this, given how much their labor costs have increased. But how many other areas of manufacturing do you think we're going to see some significant job loss to robots?
It's going to be across multiple industries. You know, automotive has clearly led the way for decades now. They had the big run-up really in the 80s. They were one of the initial sectors to employ robots more than any other. But we're seeing it increasingly across, especially most recently in the consumer packaged goods industry, which is food and beverage, pharmaceuticals, and, you know, cosmetics, what have you. That is a growing area that is increasingly becoming automated more so than it has been in the past. But I think one of the ways to characterize this is, yes, you know, inevitably with any advance in technology, be it robots or other types of automation, you will see some job losses associated with that. But a lot of the reshoring that's been happening in the U.S. with manufacturing, where a lot of jobs have been lost, particularly in the 90s, automation is actually allowing a lot of those jobs to come back. Because automation has enabled the reshoring of a lot of manufacturing operations that had been lost in the past couple of decades here in the U.S. So it's not quite a zero-sum equation, if you will, to say the more automation there is, the less jobs there are, because it's actually helping bring jobs back. And it's also creating a new field of work across industry for people to maintain and fix the robots and other types of automated equipment across industry.
Well, I was also wondering, even though there may not be as many people working at a factory, for example, if you're talking about this, these jobs coming back that had earlier been offshored, if part of it is that they can do it with fewer people, they might be paying them more than they would be paid in another part of the world. But because of the robotics, it makes it affordable, and then they don't have to deal with the same shipping costs. Is that what you're talking about in part?
That is a huge part of it, yes. Because, I mean, it's no secret that, you know, labor costs here in the U.S. are high, than they have been historically in other parts of the world. But even in the past, probably more than a decade now, even in areas like China, where labor has historically been cheap, especially when compared to the United States, they were even increasingly applying robots and other types of automated equipment. You know, in one aspect of it, you know, there is the labor cost, but it's also to increase in quality and higher throughput as well because of the repeatability of it. And one of the bigger factors here that we face in the U.S. particularly is in, you know, attracting enough people to industry to do the type of work. Because manufacturing has long been stigmatized, and in some industries, you could argue correctly so, that a lot of the work was what is often referred to here in industry as the four Ds, and that is that the type of work was often dark, dirty, dull, and dangerous. And so robots are taking over most of those types of work that people, you know, even historically didn't really want to do, but they kind of had to do sometimes to maintain a living. So a lot of those types of jobs are what's being taken by robotics and other types of automation is type of jobs that people have historically not really wanted to do. And in some cases aren't really good for humans to do because of the repetitive stress
and motion,
things of that nature.
Yeah, David Greenfield, Editor-in-Chief of Automation World with us. Also joining us from MIT's Industrial Performance Center, Executive Director and Research Scientist at the IPC. He co-leads the work of the Future Initiative there, Ben Armstrong. Ben, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about the idea of robots and job loss. This is not a straight line trade-off, is it?
Well, for a long time, really since the 1960s, there's been concern in the United States about automation and job loss. In the 1960s, it wasn't necessarily robots, but it was the early wave of computerization. Congress even convened hearings, worried even at a time of very low unemployment about the displacement of workers due to advanced technology. And what we saw both in the 1960s, but later in the 80s with the onset of robotics in the automotive industry, as David mentioned, but also, you know, beginning around 2018, again, with concerns about robots and AI, that these fears have never really come to pass. So there have been a number of studies in the United States, in France, in the Netherlands, in Finland, that tried to understand when a manufacturer adopts robots or other automation technologies, what happens to their workforce? What kind of people do they hire? What type of people do they lay off? And what they find is that when firms adopt robots or technologies like them, they end up hiring more people, not fewer, partly because they become more productive, they're able to grow faster, and they have a higher need for labor overall. Now, the people that they hire are doing somewhat different tasks, right? They're not necessarily loading and unloading a machine or doing final assembly, if the robot's capable of doing that. But instead, they take on more cognitive tasks. They think about how to improve the process. They might do more detailed quality checks and the like. So really, you know, in the research, the focus is on not what jobs the robot can do, since the robot can never do 100% of a job, but it's what task the robot can do. And oftentimes it's a task that a machine might do more reliably than a human, opening up the human to do tasks that really humans are much better equipped to do than machines. So in general, you know, the winners of the last, you know, multiple decades of manufacturing have been the firms that have automated, and even the workers working for those firms. The challenge, though, with U.S. manufacturing is that we haven't had enough automation. So I don't want to paint a rosy picture of, you know, all boats rising, partly because robot adoption in the U.S. has been flat for the last more than a decade. Robot adoption actually went down during the pandemic in 2020, when you might expect investments in automation to go up. So I do think there's an issue here that both technology adoption in U.S. factories has been flat, but also that U.S. productivity in manufacturing has actually gone down since 2010. So these are concerning trends.
Why is this? Is it that the low-hanging fruit of automation has already taken place, or labor costs haven't risen enough to really put the demand into next-generation automation? What's happening?
I think there are a few factors. One is there's a backlash to companies that try to push too far in automation. So there are examples from the early 1980s when GM tried to coin the lights out factory, automating everything in sight. They realized they just couldn't do it. And they had some robots were affixing the wrong bumper to the wrong chassis. They had led to a lot of mistakes, and they had to turn back the clock on automation and really evaluate what was appropriate to automate and not. Similarly with the Tesla Model 3 factory in more recent times. So there is, I think, some just technical challenges of integrating automation. And it ultimately is quite costly. It's more costly to integrate automation into a factory floor typically than just to buy the robot itself. And then finally, there's the labor question. You know, manufacturing wages in the United States have been flat for quite some time when adjusted for inflation. And there aren't the specific skills, kind of the automation engineering skills, to really make robots and other automated equipment work in practice. So these have been barriers to introducing more automation into U.S. factories.
We're talking with Ben Armstrong of MIT's Industrial Performance Center and David Greenfield, Editor-in-Chief of Automation World. If you have questions for them about automation and robots, manufacturing or logistics or any of the different sectors of our economy where automation is particularly attractive for cutting costs but doing quality work, we're at 866-893-5722, 866-893-5722. You can also email us at atcomments@las.com. Please include your location and first name. David, I wanted to talk about logistics, particularly because here in Southern California, we have a huge logistics industry, warehouses, interstate trucking that's based here, a dual port complex, which is massive. So, you know, logistics is a huge, huge employer and economic driver here. David, what do you see as some of the areas in the coming decade where this is going to be a really noticeable difference with automation?
Yeah, you're correct. The automated storage and retrieval systems, in particular in the distribution center type of facilities in the logistics industry, as well as just the general autonomous mobile robots that are proliferating throughout industry, you know, in the logistics side as well as in manufacturing. And those, just to clarify, with the autonomous mobile robots, which are typically referred to as AMRs, what separates them from the automated guided vehicles that people tend to be more familiar with in the past that would roam around factories or distribution centers is they followed leads that were embedded into the floor of the factory. So they followed very defined paths throughout the distribution center or whatever manufacturing facilities they operated in. But these autonomous mobile robotics, these systems use different types of radars and sensors that are outfitted on the actual mobile robot themselves to autonomously navigate throughout a facility. You know, they're just told where to go and, you know, what will be put in them and then told where to go from there. And they make their way back because they've essentially mapped out, you know, the facility. They have that information contained within their controllers. They know the facility and they the quickest and fastest ways back to or to where they need to go or where they need to return to, and they avoid any obstacles along the way. They slow down and stop when people cross their paths. So that's one area. And then these automated storage and retrieval systems, which are proliferating across global uses, even in the grocery areas. I think it was Ocado, the online supermarket business in the UK. They developed a proprietary system of their own where these stacks of products can be up to 21 containers high, and mobile robots roam across the top, pulling from these automatically based on orders that are input. And you see that with the automated storage and retrieval systems and distribution centers that can be a couple of stories high. And these robotic systems go and do, you know, very, you know, highly accurate pick and place of picking items for fulfillment.
All right. We're almost out of time, but I have a listener question I want to ask Diana, in Loma Linda, was wondering about what certification and training is needed for people to repair automated components in these factories. David?
Yeah, that's actually one of the exciting things job-wise around this point is that a lot of these types of jobs don't require your typical four-year engineering degrees that you would expect or have expected to work in that type of field in the past. There's quite a bit of training out there, often done at local community colleges, that has been growing over the past few years, where you just need a year or two of training at a fairly low cost. And that sort of training is kind of exploding across industry. And unfortunately, as much as people like myself, you know, talk about it, it's not widely picked up across the media to let people know that these types of jobs are there and don't require, you know, large sums of money to obtain degrees or large amounts of time to get them. And there's a number of jobs into the tens of thousands that are open right now for these types of technicians to maintain and repair, you know, a variety of automated equipment, not just robotics, but the controllers, the sensors, et cetera, that are part of these automated systems.
This is so great. I anticipated a segment where we'd be talking about job loss because of the rise of robots and automation, only to find out there are all these job opportunities, plus the reshoring of manufacturing that had been done elsewhere becomes more affordable to do it here with the assistance of automation and human workers alongside them. David Greenfield of Automation World, thank you so much. Ben Armstrong of MIT's Industrial Performance Center, thank you both for being with us. Absolutely fascinating.